Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Unchurched Live, a no-holds-barred spiritual conversation for the seeker and the skeptic. I am your co-host, Finesse, and I am adjusting my camera. I'm here along with my co-host, Dr. Stephen E. Gardner. Dr. Gardner, how are you doing tonight?
Doing well,
yourself? I'm doing well, sir. As always, looking forward to the show. We're grateful for those who are preparing to log on. I want to announce to everyone, before we get to the topic tonight, that we are also simulcasting live on Blog Talk Radio. Our guest call-in number is 657-383-0106, 657-383-0106. And I'm going to go on Facebook right now, Dr. Gardner, to make sure we're broadcasting on Facebook. And yes, we are. Let me do a brief sound check. Yes, we're good. So I'm going to share the broadcast with you. And let me see here. It is letting, I'm going to tag some people. And we're good. And I'm going to post right now. And we are good. And I'm going to go back to Be Live TV and announce the topic tonight. Tonight's topic is it possible to achieve oneness with God? Many of the monotheistic religions, Judaism, Christianity, Islam, have some thread of oneness with God. I believe it's, Doctor, if I'm correct, the more esoteric tradition within Islam, Sufism, deals with the whole notion of oneness. There are themes of oneness within Christianity. I would think that there are themes of oneness within Judaism. And I think also some New Age forms of spirituality talk about this notion of oneness with God, oneness with the Creator, oneness with higher intelligence, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So tonight we will be talking about that. A great person just logged on. Is it possible to achieve oneness with God, or is it just a notion that we think about, we may point to, but which can never be achieved in this life? Buddha, wow. For example, I'm thinking about Buddhism as well as Hinduism. Buddha achieved nirvana, enlightenment. Could that be considered oneness with God? Krishna, can Krishna's being and teachings be in the Bhagavad Gita be considered at some point the end result oneness with God? Doc, you're going to talk about this later on. Jesus in the gospel said, "I and the Father are one." So is it only with those who are religious founders, only with those who, and I'll use this term later on and explain it in more detail, ascended masters? Or are we, as, for lack of a better word, is the layperson, the average worshiper, the average one who embraces any form of spirituality, can achieve oneness with God? So that is what we're going to talk about tonight. I think, Doctor, a good place to start, and as you know, I'm always moving around social media, making sure, thank you for sharing the post, making sure that we are being watched, making sure the audience is growing. Doctor, I think a good place to start, thank you for those who are logging on, is here. Who is God?
Who is God?
can we start at the most basic? Again, thank you for those who are logging on. I'm just going to hit add something to the chat. Tonight, who is God? Let me write this in the chat. Doctor, do you want to begin this conversation?
I mean, you know, I think that within every person, there's this craving to know that there is something or someone beyond themselves. Some call it God, some call it a supreme being, a higher power. I think what the most important thing is that we need to talk about all that and not disclaim any of that, so that we can begin to have a spiritual conversation. And let me say something about having a spiritual conversation. I know that there have been that have been raised valid questions about the show. And it is what it says it is. It's a spiritual conversation designed for the seeker and the skeptic, which means that we're going to have various opinions about the subject matter. And we respectfully invite others to share their opinions. And then we will add our two cents, as it were, and kind of facilitate the conversation in hopes that people will come away from the show with a better awareness of what we're talking about on that evening. And so tonight we're talking about God and can we have oneness with God. And that's a huge, I can't wait to the time I get a chance to kind of give my spiel on being one with God. But I think that we need to think about what oneness looks like.
Agreed. And Doctor, let me chime in terms of questions about the show. So for anyone watching, and I would think, Doctor, it's coming from the church community. Again, I want to just reiterate the title, Unchurch Live. So this broadcast is a marketplace opportunity. Some in the church would call it ministry. It is for people who are seeking truth, who may or may not be Christ followers. And it's designed for those who are skeptical about Christianity. And I think for those of us in the church community, we've got to accept the fact and own the fact that there have been times in American Christian history in which we've not represented or represented Christ well. I'm a Christ follower, so I'm not slamming those outside my community. I'm part of that community. And so this show is not meant to be to replicate a church service. It is not meant to be a Bible study, although we deal with biblical principles. It is a spiritual conversation. And Doctor, I hope in you sharing and what I've just shared that anyone who's had questions will have them clarified. So Doc, you talked about there's a craving within. To know a being greater than ourselves. And I'm reminded, yes, I'm old enough to remember the original roots, not just roots the next generation, the original roots.
The original roots
with LeVar Burton and O.J. Simpson in Better Days and Lou Gossett Jr. and others, Matt Sinclair, I think. And I remember when Kunta Kinte's, I believe, father, when he was born, took him out into the night, held him up as part of a dedication. He said, "Behold, the only one greater than yourself." And you saw this nighttime sky with the stars and the brilliance. And I think, Doctor, and I think listening audience and viewing audience, that he was pointing the infant Kunta Kinte to the Creator, to God.
Okay.
To the supreme being. And I think we've got to paint the picture of who God is. So let me take a stab at it. In the scriptures, the Christian scriptures, there's a term that I learned that we use anthropomorphic language. We use human language by analogy to help us picture, conceive of, and understand the divine. So we talk about God as Father. There's some traditions that talk about God as Mother. There are analogies of God gathering God's people as a mother hen would gather her chicks. That's anthropomorphic language, the hands of God, the eyes of God, that kind of thing. So, Doc, I think we can start by acknowledging that God is a being.
Okay.
A being, an entity,
a
living entity. So as I thought about the show, I thought about these three words, Doctor. Tell me what you think. Not just powerful, but all powerful.
Okay.
Not just knowing, because you and I know, we as human beings know, but all knowing. Not just wise, and the older are supposed to be wise, the younger are supposed to be strong, but all-knowing, all-powerful, and all-wise, that those are attributes of God.
Well, you know, there are terms for that. One for all-knowing is the word omniscient.
Yes.
And the term for all-powerful is omnipotent.
Yes.
But you miss one, or should I bring one in, that says omnipresent.
Yes, I forgot that one, Doctor. I forgot. I'm able, Doc. This is why I have a co-host. So when I forget, you remember. So in the chat, I'm going to raise that, and I'm looking here. We've shared this a number of times, so I'm just going to pick one of the shared images and comment. So. Attributes of God, all powerful, all knowing, all wise, and all present. So Doctor, part of the attributes of God is this all characteristic. The supreme attributes, all powerful, all knowing, all wise, and all present, above and beyond even the most capable, skilled, talented, and gifted human being, that God is in a class by God's self. Doctor, would you say?
Yeah, I would say that he's in a class by himself, and we're trying to understand, you know, those various attributes that you talked about. We're trying to understand those things, and because if we are God's people, and that's a wide term, if we're God's people, then the people need to get to know, need to understand, need to embrace the God they serve.
It's interesting. So you raise another component, that there is the aspect of knowability. If that's a word. So let me rephrase it. No ability. I mean, listen, if Bootylicious has risen to the level of the New Oxford Dictionary, then I can say no ability. So the ability, how about this for our viewing and listening audience? The ability to be known.
Yeah, I agree with that. That we don't serve a God that's disconnected from our reality. That he, in some cases, and lack of better term, plays hide and seek. And so, in other words, that there is always this aspect of us that's curious. And one scripture in the Old Testament says, and so you see these kinds of sayings, and not just within the Christian tradition, that there are other traditions that are out there that are not Christ-centered traditions, but however, there is this indication that people are seeking this being or desire to have a quote-unquote relationship with the one they can't see. They have a desire to have a relationship with God.
So we reviewed a lot. Let me summarize here, and before I do that, I want to take station identification, if you will, broadcast identification. You are listening to and you're watching Unchurched Live and No Holds Barred, spiritual conversation for the seeker and the skeptic. We are simulcasting on Blog Talk Radio and Be Live TV. I'm with my co-host, Dr. Stephen E. Gardner. I'm your co-host, Finesse. Tonight's topic is it possible to achieve oneness with God? And we've started the first part of the show defining who is God. We've talked about all-knowing, all-powerful, all-wise, all-present. I may have invented a word, knowability, or the ability to be known. Wanting to be in relationship with the other, accessible, yet, and doctor, I don't remember if it was Paul Tillich who talked about this, holy other.
Holy other. Yeah.
Holy, W-H-O-L-L-Y, other. And it's almost, doctor, paradoxical, because how can a God that is holy other also want to be known? How can a God who is holy other also, and I'll use another word, transcendent.
Yes. Yeah.
Transcendent, engage in self-disclosure. See, we're using these terms, and I want us to really walk through them slowly, doctor, because if we're talking about being one with God, then we've got to know the God that we're one with. Yes?
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
I agree.
So there are people who are a little quiet in the chat today. That's good. Maybe there are people who are listening. More, I want to give us the guest call-in number, 638-3-0106, 657-383-0106. Tonight's topic is it possible to achieve oneness with God? And one of the things, one of the elements within Christianity that I find fascinating is that this all-powerful, all-knowing, all-wise, all-present God that is wholly other can be described in parental terms. Was it Jesus on the cross? Abba Father.
Abba Father.
Abba Father. The Lord's Prayer. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, etc. Doctor, go ahead. You want to jump in?
No, it just said something. Even in the Lord's Prayer, it does give that endearing term, our Father. But it also gives a location where the holy other is located.
Yes.
In heaven, or the Greek words, oreno. You know, and so maybe we should talk about that in one of these shows about heaven, what that looks like.
Yes.
But heaven is, according to the Lord's Prayer, or the disciples' prayer, is the location or the dimension where God is, his throne, or his kingdom, as it were, his invisible domain is beyond the sphere that we can touch, taste, and smell. He's in an invisible world, and we call that heaven.
So, doctor, listening audience, viewing audience, in order to be balanced, I will also use the feminine reference. There are those womanists who may be watching, listening, feminists who may be watching, listening, who for whom the image of a male deity creates barriers for them. There were some like Elizabeth Schussler Fiorenza. I remember reading the book In Memory of Her, I believe, 30 years ago, if my memory serves me correctly, who refers to God in the feminine. So God, and I think, did not Jesus say this, doctor, in John? Some would say Jesus Christ. Others would say Jesus of Nazareth. Listen to this for those of us who want to only use the masculine reference for God. Jesus of Nazareth said God is a spirit. Then he uses the masculine. So for those who may have issues with the masculine, you can use the feminine. Then those who may have issues with the feminine, you can use the masculine. And that is also anthropomorphic language, human language used to describe and discuss the divine. So, doctor, do you think we've done a decent job in defining who God is?
I think so.
All right. So So we can move on to talk about oneness. What does, just generally speaking, and if anyone in the chat or who's listening or watching wants to call in, 657-383-0106, anyone who may want to hit us up in the chat, you can hit us up in the chat. The chat is open right now. What is oneness? Oneness. Does it describe unity?
Unity, okay. I think that's a good way of describing it. It's unity.
To introduce the concept. So unity.
In the Christian tradition, they have what they call communion, which is a common union.
Common union.
So within that communion or common union is a union. So unity, union. So oneness with God would mean that there is a possibility, or it suggests there's a possibility to have union with Him. To experience Him in a very in a very deep and personal way.
Experience God in a very deep and personal way. So this all-powerful, all-knowing, all-wise, and all-present God, in the midst of 7 or 8 billion people on the earth, Doctor, 7 or 8 billion people, if not more, that God has the ability to allow human beings to experience God regardless of their location.
Regardless of their location.
So viewing audience, listening audience, did you hear that? Of all the billions of people on the earth, that God has the ability for all to experience God. I've never thought about that in my entire life. That's profound.
Well, it's profound, and also, it's mind-boggling how an entity can have a common union with so many people that we know. We know of 7 billion. We're not even talking about the ones that have already gone on. That's a whole other conversation. But those that we know that are on the planet right now, He has the ability to have a common union with each one of them. That's His desire.
That is God's desire. Doc, if you would just take over for just 1 second, I'm just typing in the chat. That's powerful. It's God's desire.
God's desire, which means that if God has desires, then, that just shows us something about that we, our God and ourselves, or that there's a common ground there. We have desires. Just as much as He wants to have a union with us, I believe that within our heart, there's a longing to have the same kind of oneness with Him. I want to know Him in a very real way. Now, let me just talk about knowing Him. Now, in the King, I'm going to borrow something from the book of Genesis, and I'm going to use the King's English, King James Version. It says that Adam knew his wife, and she conceived. Now, the word knew his wife. In other words, what did that look like? Well, if she conceived, we know that type of knowing was a copulation or a sexual intercourse, and that out of that produced another human being by knowing him. And so, when you think about the union of a man and woman engaging in one aspect, they are becoming one. The scripture referred to that they shall become one flesh. So if there's a possibility of becoming one flesh, then there's a possibility of becoming one spirit.
So communion, oneness. We're talking about oneness in this part of the conversation, having begun talking about and attempting to define who God is. And for those who are just logging on, Stephanie Marie, and the greatest thing about God is that he has the ability to form different degrees of relationships with each of us. No relationship is alike, just as no marriage is alike. Yes, Stephanie Marie, I agree. And see, that's part of the all-powerful part. I think I'm powerful. Dr. Gardner, you're powerful. Stephanie Marie, you're powerful. That we all have certain degrees of power, the ability, and a loosely defined power, the ability to make things happen.
Okay.
You see? Yet, one of the attributes of God, I'm enjoying this conversation, by the way, Doctor. One of the attributes of God is the allness. Did I just what did I say? No ability and allness.
Allness.
The allness of the Creator. So it's not just powerful, it's all powerful. It's not just knowing, it's all knowing. It's not just wise, it's all wise. It's not just present. I am present here in my home studio. Dr. Gardner is present in his home studio. Stephanie Marie, you're watching and listening from wherever you are. I cannot physically be in Africa right now. I cannot physically be in Iceland right now, but God can.
God can.
All powerful. And so that oneness means that we are somehow connected. We're connected to. I don't want to jump ahead of myself and talk about oneness with God, but we are connected to. That's powerful. I'm connected to my son who's in the other room by blood.
By blood.
His DNA, my DNA is in him. We're connected. I don't think he always likes that. But we're connected. You understand? And my ex-wife and I are connected. By virtue of the fact that we have a child together, there's that union. So this notion of oneness is connection. Go ahead, Doc.
Yeah, I mean, you know, when you think about connection, I mean, we can get as basic as, you know, you can have a lamp, but if you don't connect it to a power source, it's not going to shine any light. And I think that that's one way of really looking at our potential as humans becomes fully realized when we're able to connect with God. Our potential as humans becomes fully realized when we're able to connect with God. Otherwise, we're just like a lamp that's not plugged into a power source. It might look good. It might, you know, you might put some perfume on it or some cologne on it. It might be in a particular place in your home, it might complete the decor, but the function, the highest function of a lamp is to provide light. These are also terms that refer to God, that God is light. So that means I have the possibility of being connected with God and get turned on, that I could, you know, my potential, my awareness, my understanding, my wisdom, transcends to a level that allows me to, watch this, fellowship with God.
Koinonia.
Fellowship with God.
So, doctor, and let me just take a quick station identification, and then I want to recognize someone who logged on. You're listening and watching Unchurched Live, or listening to and watching Unchurched Live, the No Holds Barred Spiritual Conversation for the Seeker and the Skeptic. I'm your co-host, Finesse, along with my co-host, Dr. Stephen E. Gardner. Tonight's topic is it possible to achieve oneness with God? We've talked about God. Who is God? We've talked about, and we're now talking about oneness. And, doctor, you have just presented a concept. Fellowship. How do we fellowship with God? Doc, can you hear me?
I hear you.
Okay.
Are you asking me a question?
Yes, I am, sir. Yes, I am.
Yeah, well, we fellowship with God. I think that if we identify the nature of God, it gives us a clue as to how to fellowship with God. Now, I'm going to, you know, Jesus said this when he was talking to the woman at the well. He says that God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So the nature of God suggested by that particular passage in St. John 4 indicates that God is not flesh and blood, but that he is a spiritual being, and that to connect with him, even through worship, means that I must be connected to that being through the spirit or through spirit.
I like that. So we're putting meat on the bones, Doctor. We are specifying what could be a very heady and esoteric topic. And as we're discussing it tonight, we're making it practical. That there is this notion of relationship. That the all-powerful, all-wise, all-knowing, all-present God wants to be in relationship with us, his or her creation. That's powerful. And throughout, I will say this, throughout human history and through all of the religious and spiritual systems, I'm gonna write that down in case I forget. So religious and spiritual systems, I'm going to talk about this. God has been disclosing God's self. And doctor, for those who of any faith tradition who embrace religious exclusivity, I know those persons are going to disagree with me. And that's okay, because it's a spiritual conversation. I believe that God has been disclosing God's self, and it's been trying to get our attention through all faith systems.
That's you.
Yeah.
I mean, it makes God bigger than what we've made him. I mean,
Doctor, please say that again.
It makes God bigger than what we've made him.
It makes God bigger.
Right. And I think, you know, part of that has to do with the fact that we all have come from a particular faith tradition or philosophy. But whatever our faith tradition is and philosophy, it has its limits.
Well said.
And I think God is bigger than our limits. And that in itself should be an invitation. Let me get beyond the limits and really get to know the God who has no limits, the limitless God.
Spiritual God, doctor, I like that. Spiritual system, the limitless God. And there is a television show called Limitless. I believe it's on CBS, I believe.
And, yeah, it must be on.
And I think there was a movie called Limitless. Pardon me one second. And it was about a man. And I don't remember if he developed the pill or simply ingested the pill, but it was the limitless pill. And that limitless pill expanded the consciousness, expanded the mental power, et cetera. Even with that, I'm going to introduce two more words. With all of our power, all of our resources, all of our talents, gifts, and abilities, we are limited.
Limited.
And we are finite.
Yet
God is limitless and infinite. Barriers.
No barriers. And so, you know, and part of the barriers, and this, watch this. And I have to quote one of my mentors, Dr. Thomas Brown, and he says that men fear to love and they love to fear. I think that one of the things that really limits us in our quest for God is fear.
Why is that?
Because we are afraid of what we can't quantify. We're afraid of what we don't know. or we're afraid to venture out beyond what we've been told. And so those things we've been told are like fences. It's like an electrical fence that keeps us confined. And so God's trying to constantly reveal himself to us with my background or my training or my conditioning or my environment has placed God in, has made my approach to God suspect, or I can only approach him a certain way, or I can only experience him on a certain level. I think that once we get beyond having fear,
yes,
then I think that we can do a lot of things. We can really transcend to the Almighty, because I'm not afraid to get to know him. I'm not afraid of what he might discover about me or what I might discover about myself. You know, we live in a world filled with facades. Everybody's trying to one-up. Everybody's trying to pontificate and postulate. But yet, when we deal with God, we're dealing with a God that's that he is disclosing himself. Therefore, he's making himself transparent in a way and suggests that we need to become transparent before him.
And I would say, Doctor, sometimes it's the conditioning of the faith community in which we exist, that if we don't come perfected already,
well,
we tend to be shamed.
Or if we don't wear certain clothing, then we're not as connected.
Right. Or if we don't have the right set of beliefs, then we can't connect. Yet I want to expand this and say that belies what you and I have been talking about. In other words, if God is all-knowing, all-wise, all-powerful, all-present, and wants to be known, and throughout human history has been disclosing God's self to humanity throughout all of the spiritual systems and faith traditions, then God places no barriers to entry.
Right. There is a poetic writing, I believe it's in the book of Psalms, and for those who'd like to go there, you can probably go there. Psalm, I believe, 19, and it states this, is that the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night shows knowledge. And so the very things that we see at night, the stars, and we can look up there and we see the stars at night, and we can look at their array. That in itself declares, that in itself proclaims the glory of God.
That's interesting. And this whole notion of oneness is very powerful, because it can almost seem like a far-fetched notion that for the average person, oneness with God cannot be obtained. And if oneness with God can be, then one would have to withdraw oneself from life and live in a monastic community. That is a community of people, regardless of faith tradition, who've decided that the only way to commune with God is to withdraw from life. So I don't have a 9-to-5 job. I don't have a family. I don't have other commitments, that my soul beat, my life's work and my life's, what's the word I'm looking for, purpose, is to simply spend day and night communing with God. I don't knock those who make that choice. I believe the more meaningful path to oneness is to engage society in life. That said, I will call them, and I'm bringing in some new thought right now, a new thought concept, new age spirituality concept. All right, for those who are strict Christ followers, don't think that I've gone off the deep end. let me just say to y'all, so
I got a cane, man. I can bring you back.
Like a shepherd with the hook, the long staff with the hook.
It's a hook.
So I will use this terminology, and those who are familiar with New Age spirituality will know it, and for those who are not, I'll define it. The ascended masters, There are those who consider Jesus of Nazareth to be an ascended master. There are those who consider Krishna to be an ascended master. Likewise, Muhammad, Buddha, Lao Tzu, in Taoism, others, ascended masters, that they have achieved the ultimate stage of spiritual existence, which is enlightenment, which for them equals oneness with God.
Okay. All right.
If I was in church, I'd say, I know where I'm going tonight, this evening, people. That so are the ascended masters, to the extent to which Jesus, Buddha, Muhammad, Krishna, Lao Tzu can be considered ascended masters, are ascended masters the only ones who can attain oneness with God?
Well, I have to categorically disagree with this, that they're the only ones that can attain it.
Yes.
I think that the possibility is that, as you said earlier, we all, now, if I'm going to borrow that esoteric term, ascended master, we all can become ascended master.
Yes, Kevin Kerr, I hope I'm pronouncing your name correctly, sir. Kevin Kerr, thank you so much for your likes, and thank you for your comment that you are listening. And Kevin, I'm going to try to respond in the chat. There are several shares, so I'm noticing, Doctor and Kevin and others who are watching and listening, that some of the comments come into one shared broadcast image and others go into another. But thank you so much. I don't know if it's your first time watching and listening. I think it's your first time commenting. Thank you. And while I'm doing that, Doctor, you're listening to Unchurched Live. We are listening to Unchurched Live, watching it as a no-holds-barred spiritual conversation for the seeker and the skeptic. I'm here with my co-host, my partner, Dr. Stephen E. Garden. I'm your co-host, Finesse. Tonight's topic is it possible to achieve oneness with God, ascended masters? Doctor, thank you for kind of going along with me with that concept. And I agree with you, sir, that they've provided an example. And
we need to look at it from that perspective.
Yes, and maybe not just, what did I say, an example?
Yeah.
But a pathway, a model, a blueprint to achieve oneness.
So then,
yes, sir.
Provide a pathway, they provide a model, an example to achieve oneness, then if they ascended, what were the outcomes of their ascendedness? What was the proof that they had ascended?
Ha! All right. So the easy answer comes from within Christianity.
Ah.
All right,
okay.
And I'm going to table that for a second.
Okay.
There was this notion of ultimate, I'm going to define two terms, ultimate understanding and ultimate surrender.
Okay, all right, I'm listening.
Ultimate understanding of God's true nature, God's true self, God's true intention with respect to the human community, and their complete surrender to bring others to that oneness.
Oneness. Okay. All right. So.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
You think about another term that I heard of. I think the lady is named Madame Guyon. She wrote a classic years ago. But in it, she talked about abandonment.
Yes. Yes.
So we're going to talk about, humility. We're going to talk about abandonment. And so one of the things that I've seen philosophically, respond to Stephanie Marie. She said, be one with God.
An opinion involves being willingly exposed and transparent, although God already knows us, and allowing him to transform us into his image. Yes. This, Doc, you know, I can step aside for a second and say, I forget who the theologian was. I introduced this topic to you when we talked about it, and because I felt moved that we should explore it. It was with fear and trembling, because thankfully, Doctor, you and I have sufficient education, intellect, and ability to communicate where this is not becoming an esoteric exercise. I mean, we're making it as practical as we can, but I'm telling you, I was like, I don't know if this topic would work, but I think it's working. Surrender. Surrender. And Doctor, what did you say? I use the word
abandon.
See, it's, I am the Father of one. I don't want to steal your text. I am the Father of one. Jesus, when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, said, Father, if it be your will, let this cup, which we know would be of death, be a crucifixion. If it be your will, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. That statement reflects oneness, that I have abandoned my will for the will of God.
And I think that that's the thing in terms of how do we practice, how do we, is the word, practicalize.
I like that.
How do we practicalize?
Tangibilize. Yes, right.
You know, and I think that the way we can practicalize being one with God is to understand what abandonment was, to understand what it means to surrender. Now, the Apostle Paul stated in the book of Colossians, he said that Jesus' surrender is a self-emptying exercise.
The kenosis.
So if I'm going to self-empty, then for lack of better terms, get real church on you, I need to get self out the way.
The kenosis. Doctor, this is good. This doctor, listen, we are public theologians. I love it. The emptying of oneself. Look, everybody, I may just get a little preachy right now, and that's okay, just a little bit.
Wow.
That if we really want to be one with God, we've got to empty ourselves of ourselves and surrender to the will, the purpose, and the plan of God.
Got to empty yourself.
It's hard to do, but
it's hard to do.
But
because then,
go ahead, Doctor. Go ahead.
One of the barriers is that we're always seeking self assertion, self attention. We want to be seen. You know, that's a type of pride, and we want to be recognized. We want to, we want to be looked up to. But to achieve oneness with God, only place I'm going to look is up to him.
Yes.
Instead of being looked up to, desiring from others, to be one with God, it means that first and foremost, I must be willing to look away from myself and look toward him.
See,
or
go ahead, Doctor.
God.
And the thing is, family, we're taught in this society to assert ourselves. We're taught that. We're taught to go for what we know, to be proactive, to be aggressive. I'm in sales, and a salesperson who doesn't assert oneself will not sell for long.
No, you won't eat.
You won't eat.
You know.
But so there's this clash of values. Now, I'll jump back for a second. The ascended masters, and there are those who consider Jesus to be an ascended master, Buddha. Buddha achieved enlightenment and came back to instruct people in the way of Buddhism. Those of us who are Christ followers, I felt a little nudge there, Doctor. Those who are Christ followers believe that he's coming back. Coming back. So in Islam, I'm somewhat familiar with Islam. I don't recall if there's a notion of resurrection. I know there's a notion of paradise. And what I do know of Islam is that for those who walk the straight path, there is this notion of paradise. Oneness is complete understanding. It is abandonment. It is surrender. And in so doing, transforming of one's will, purpose, and plan into the purpose, plan, and will of God.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, we don't really talk about this in church. We don't talk about this within the church faith community. Paul writes this. The Apostle Paul, in his letter to the Romans, said, present your bodies as the living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual act of worship. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. And there's this melding of and transforming of, when we're one with God, God's will and our will, that we begin to want what God wants.
That's it.
Did I say it right, Doctor?
Yeah, we begin to want what God wants. When our will...
Malik Abdul-Zahir, thank you for logging on. Go ahead, Doctor.
When our will melds with his will...
Melds with.
We begin to want what God wants. And let me take it a step further. When our will melds with his will, we begin to love as he loves. When our will melds with his will, we begin to understand as he understands. In other words, that it's the melding of will, human will, with God's will, that opens up our awareness, opens up our understanding, increases our capacity to love more than we've ever been able to love before. Jesus said this. Now, we know that all the commandments are hinged upon two. Love your neighbors, love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Listen to that. Listen to all those abandonment terms. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, abandoned, with all your mind, abandoned, with all your strength. In other words, I'm giving my complete self to him. And then he said to love your neighbor as you love yourself. But one thing Jesus said to his disciples, his Christ followers, before he left this planet, he says, I give you a new commandment, and that is, I want you to love one another as I have loved you. So in other words, Jesus, you know, was the example, he was the incarnation, he was the embodiment of how to love like he loved. And if Jesus was one with God, if we love like Jesus loved, we're loving the way God loves.
And I like that, Doctor. And I'm going to expand it to be more universalist. And for those who are just logging on, I'm going to go back to the beginning. We have 7 minutes left, Doctor. So I definitely want us to lay out some practical steps to this whole notion of oneness. We define God, regardless of faith tradition or spiritual system, as all-knowing, all-powerful, all-wise, all-present. That those are some attributes of God. That it is one who has self-disclosed God's self throughout human history, through, in my opinion only, through all of the faith traditions, to get humankind to look for and connect with God via relationship. And so now we're talking about what oneness entails, that we are uniting with that being, supreme being, higher intelligence, creator, etc., God, in such a way that our will melds with God's will, that we in fact surrender to the way of God as we conceive of God, and that a transformation takes place. I would say it's a lifetime process. Let me just lay that out there. It's a lifetime process. It doesn't happen overnight.
No, it doesn't.
And I want to use a word that I know is a proper word, unlike knowability, which I said earlier. That may not be a proper word. It is rigorous.
Let me suggest.
The narrow road, and I want to use two metaphors very quickly. The narrow road that Jesus talks about, the Four Noble Truths of Buddhism, the straight path, I believe it's the straight path of Islam, that's rigorous. All of those methodologies, those spiritual methodologies, are rigorous. It's going to take something out of you and I to walk the path to oneness. I got, okay. Doctor, I'm done. I can go on now. I'm getting my second wind, but I'm going to stop. It's, doctor, wouldn't you agree it's rigorous? It's rigorous. It's rigorous. And that's why most people don't want it, because it's rigorous.
Right. And you know, let's deal with in the Christian tradition, they talk about prayer and fasting. And prayer and fasting is rigorous in the sense that it requires something of you. And so some are using prayer and fasting as a way of attaining oneness. Now, I know we only have a few minutes left. Some are using meditation as a way of attaining oneness. I know we only got a few minutes left, but Jesus prayed a prayer in St. John chapter 17. He prayed that the disciples, that his followers would be one as he and the Father are one. So he prayed a prayer that Christ's followers, and since we talk about the Christian tradition in this context, that he wanted them to experience on every level what it's like to be one with God. And we've talked about ways of getting there, abandonment. We talked about, you know, selflessness. We talked about surrender. We talked about humility. And we look at some aspects of prayer and fasting as a way of putting you in a dimension to where you can commune better with God. Look at meditation, where some have used meditation as a way of communing better with God. The fact of the matter is that whatever method that we use, it requires some form of what you call rigor, or a better word that's more toned down, which is just as strong, is discipline.
I'm just writing some notes so that I don't forget. 2 minutes left to this show, and we can go a little bit beyond 10. And we have 90 minutes allotted for the Blog Talk radio piece. I think if we're going to be one with God, regardless of our faith tradition or spiritual system, we've got to commit to the journey to oneness. We got to commit to the journey. That has to be part of the outcome that we're looking for. And my notes just fell. It's okay. It's got to be part of the journey that we're committed to the oneness. You see, we're going to be on that journey, and I just want to introduce this concept of the spiritual disciplines. Again, regardless of faith tradition, most spiritual disciplines that I know of have a notion of prayer. Most spiritual disciplines that I know of have a notion of socializing, gathering with like-minded persons of their community, meditation, service, those kinds of things. All of those, what I call spiritual disciplines, help us along the journey to oneness. And I think, and Doc, again, I hadn't thought about this really ever in this way. It's really about surrender. We'll never achieve oneness if we don't surrender to the will, way, and plan of God, however we conceive of God. Oneness is not a possibility, but if we do, then it will. And there will be a better understanding of this life and a better quality of life, and finally a better sense of contentment when we've surrendered, although the process of surrender is rigorous.
You know, in my closing thoughts, I want to say this, that the Christian tradition introduces the concept of oneness in a term that we never considered to be a term that deals with oneness. It's the word atonement. But if you break down the word atonement, it's at
oneness. Yes.
And so in the Christian tradition, the atonement of Christ was the bridge that he built or made that we could be one with God. Christ's atonement is the pathway to oneness with God, according to the Christian tradition.
I like that. And Doctor, it is a good moment to end our show. Tonight's topic we've been talking about, is it possible to achieve oneness with God? Very, very briefly, 2 points for me. We have to commit to the path of oneness. It's a journey. And at the end of, and when it's all said and done, it has to be a desired outcome for us, and we've got to ultimately surrender. I'm your co-host, Finesse, along with my co-host, Dr. Stephen E. Gardner. You have been listening and watching, listening to and watching on Church Live. It is a no-holds-barred spiritual conversation for the seeker and the skeptic. We broadcast every Thursday night from 9 p.m. EST to 10 p.m. EST. We'll be back next week. I enjoy what we're doing. Doc, as always, I'm grateful. And you know how we do at the end of the show. One love.
Peace.
See you next week, everybody. Thanks for joining us.